Chapter 4, Bloodhaven. Summary, in which Tim goes to breakfast, takes a nap, and receives some unexpected news. Jason, it turned out, had quite a bit more than $3, which is how Tim found himself sitting across from a murderer in a greasy diner in Baltimore, nudging toast crusts around his plate with a spoon. He was still draped in Jason's enormous jacket, with his camera safe around his neck, bumping reassuringly against his chest when he shifted. On the ground, the sack of apples was a steady weight against the side of his foot. It felt a little foolish to bring it along, but Jason, spotting some undefined something in Tim's expression, had gotten a steely look in his eye and refused to leave it behind. So, here it was. This was weird. Definitely one of the weirder meals of Tim's life, and he'd had a pretty weird life. Still, there was no denying he was starving, and a king's feast of toast and oatmeal was as good as anything else. Jason, apparently far more trusting of meat served in strange places, pointed at him with an accusing forkful of eggs. "So, we're not doing any of your adventuring bullshit." His tone brokered no argument, and Tim quelled the urge to defend his perfectly reasonable plan around a mouthful of oatmeal. "No jumping off trains, no stealing away in the night. I'm going to buy us a couple of tickets on a nice train to Bloodhaven." Tim gave Jason a pointed once-over and raised a single, skeptical brow. "Do you really think they're gonna let us on a nice train?" "Buck up, kid, you're not that ugly." Jason grinned, as if they hadn't been receiving uneasy glances from the servers and customers alike because a certain someone was wearing bloodstained body armor and visibly packing heat. Tim pointed at him with his spoon. "Jason, you look straight up evil." "At most, I look mysterious. I'm not even wearing the helmet." Jason spread his arms as though this had been a generous and placating gesture on his part, rather than Jason hurling it out of a moving train and blowing it up midair because he thought it'd be funny. "As if that does anything other than make you look like a less specific murderer. You look like you're stopping for breakfast on your way to commit a hate crime." Jason rolled his eyes. Tim frowned. "Seriously, the waitress stopped me on my way back from the bathroom and asked if I needed her to sneak me out through the kitchen." Jason raised his eyebrows. "That's pretty ballsy. I'll leave her a good tip." "You'd better." They fell into a somewhat uncomfortable silence as they ate, the silverware clicking against plates underscoring uneasy, unmet glances. Tim watched his watch glint on Jason's wrist from under his bangs, good enough at what he does not to get caught staring. This was so fucking surreal. He and Jason weren't exactly family, and definitely weren't friends. They could rib each other all day long, sure, but that's because they were both Robin. It was practically in the job description. Tim was good at cold, emotionless logic. The best of them, save maybe Batman. Jason, meanwhile, had always been the worst. He was clever and calculated, skilled at finding clues and solving puzzles. You couldn't be Robin without it. But he never allowed for that divide between the choices he made and his compassion, or his righteous anger, for that matter. It made him the best of all of them, at times, and the worst at others. So, right now, Jason didn't care that he hated Tim. Didn't care that he might have to see Dick, might have to talk to him for the first time in months. This wasn't about Dick. This wasn't really about Tim, either. This was about Jason helping a child in need or whatever, and doing it on an absolute whim besides. That was fine. Tim was used to the most important stuff in his life not being about him, and this wasn't going to matter more than, say, becoming Robin or his mother's death, or his entire childhood. This didn't need to be about Tim any more than was necessary to get him home. Jason, having soldiered through the rest of his unfortunate-looking eggs, heaved a sigh and stretched. "You know, I've been thinking. As obnoxious as you are wont to be, you may have had a point about the clothes thing." Jason pushed back his chair and made to stand up. "Here's the plan. You hang tight here for a sec, and I'm gonna pop around the corner." And Tim lunged across the table, locking both hands around Jason's wrist before he could even finish getting to his feet. Tim had moved without thinking. His heart was pounding in his chest and he felt almost dizzy, permeated by a sick kind of fear. "Don't," he managed to choke out. Jason blinked down at him, mouth hanging open in surprise, before something uncomfortable crawled across his expression and he said, "Never mind, you're coming with me. Of course you're coming with me." Tim dropped Jason's arm, embarrassment and relief pounding behind his ribcage. "I can wait until you're done." "I'm done now," Tim said, dropping his napkin onto his plate and pushing his chair back. "You sure?" "Yeah," Tim said, not looking at him. Together, they walked down the street, Jason with his hands in his pockets and Tim trailing just a hair too close. If the silence at breakfast had been rough, this one bordered on downright painful. Jason cleared his throat awkwardly. "Listen, you don't need to say anything," Tim interjected. Jason ignored him. "Listen, please." The please surprised him so much that Tim actually stopped walking. Jason didn't look at him, but he stopped walking too. "You're right in that I look suspicious. And alone, I'm an oddity. People will stare, maybe, and the cashier won't look me in the eye. But if I'm carting around a filthy, half-starved, semi-recognizable teenager, I'm a threat, and not to mention a probable kidnapper. It's connected to a school, some local private college, and I just didn't want us to get caught on the security cameras together. That's the only reason I said what I said. I wasn't thinking. I wasn't going to leave you behind." "I know that," Tim mumbled, embarrassed, "and you don't have to apologize. I overreacted, that's all. It's not a big deal." "I still don't want to get seen, if at all possible," Jason said, ignoring Tim and his little pity party. "Now, the shop has a glass front, and as far as I can tell, only one entrance. There's a bench you can sit on where you should be able to see me the whole time. Would you be okay to wait outside? If you need anything, even if it's dumb, you can come in and get me." Tim flushed. "I'm fine, I don't need to—" "If you need me for any reason," Jason interrupted, "you'll come in and get me, okay? Promise." "Fine, fine," Tim said, more to get Jason to stop acting weird than because he had any intention of following through. He'd never admit it, but being able to see Jason moving from aisle to aisle in the tiny store did ease his nerves a bit. And it was definitely a more entertaining show than Tim had been expecting. Clothes shopping in a place that apparently specialized in college textbooks, according to the sign on the door, did not make for an elegant selection. When Jason emerged victorious, he was swamped in an enormous maroon sweatshirt that declared him a member of the Loyola Wolf Pack. Tim stared. "What do you think?" Jason did a spin, showing off an enormous cartoon wolf plastered across the back. He kicked out a leg to show off the equally overlarge sweatpants in a different, equally unflattering shade of maroon. Tim's lips twitched despite himself. "You look like you're going to a pep rally where the school mascot is a deflated couch." Jason huffed a laugh. "Gotta hide the guns somehow, kid," and smoothly tossed him a small bundle, which Tim caught instinctively. It turned out to be two items wrapped in a rubber band, a cheap toothbrush and a candy bar. He waved them at Jason unquestioningly. "Isn't this a little counterproductive?" "Balance is important in all things," Jason admonished with a glint in his eye. "See, if you don't brush your teeth, you'll turn out like me, but if you never eat candy, you'll turn out like Batman." His grin when Tim laughed was equal parts triumphant and relieved. "Okay, kid, the fashion show's over. I'm a respectable member of society again. Let's head to the station." The woman in charge of letting them on the nice train did give them a baffled once-over, but didn't call the cops, which Tim counted as a victory. Jason shelled out the big bucks, it seems, because this wasn't just a commuter going to the office train. This was a proper passenger train, a commercial train, with a polished wood interior and a snack cart and individual compartments to sit in with buttery soft leather seats. They ended up with a whole compartment to themselves, probably for the best, considering how bad Tim and Jason probably smelled. Jason bought Tim a donut. And something about having a full stomach, combined with the gentle motion of the train, plus stress, plus the both chronic and current lack of sleep, had Tim comfortable, cozy even. So it was no surprise that he ended up falling asleep. The first thing Tim noticed was warmth. He was warmer and more comfortable than he could remember feeling in a long time. The second thing was the soothing motion of the world around him, a familiar ka-thunk, ka-chunk, that threatened to send him right back to sleep if he wasn't careful. The third was that he wasn't alone. He was pressed to someone's side, an arm wrapped around him. Who was Jason? Something was wrong. People didn't touch him. Not like this. Heart pounding wildly, Tim shoved himself away, yelping. I'm sorry, as he scrambled backwards. Jason let out a startled grunt of his own, emerging from a light doze to look at Tim like he was an alien. Jesus Christ, kid, what's the matter with you? Everything's fine. And that smarted. It's not fine, Tim hissed. Don't say it's fine. He was ruining everything, like he always did, making it something undeniably Tim instead of just some hurting kid. But it felt sick, taking advantage of this sort of kindness. It felt like he was tricking Jason. There's stuff you don't know, information you don't have. What the actual fuck are you talking about? In direct contrast with his tone, Jason had his hands up, like he was trying to calm a wild animal. My dad might have had a reason for doing this. Stuff you don't know. What the hell was he saying? But he couldn't lie. Better to say something now and have Jason think he was a creep up front than having him find out later and be mad enough to do something about it. Jason snorted. Try again. There's no good reason to treat a kid like they're disposable. Well, you don't know the reason, Tim all but shouted. You want to fill me in then? It should have been simple. I'm not someone you want to be touching because... Like starting a middle school essay. Actually, saying it felt like drowning. I'm not, Tim whispered hoarsely. There's something wrong with me. You don't want to touch me. Jason raised an eyebrow. Good. Now just tell him why. My dad knew. I didn't even know for sure until... There's this guy on my team who I... Shit, that was not what he'd meant to say. Tim snapped his jaw shut, either to prevent more words from spilling out without his permission, or to trap the air that was trying to escape his lungs in a panicked, shrill wheeze. This was a bad idea. What was he trying to do? Absolve himself to Jason? Damage control, now. Change the subject. Pretend he didn't say anything. But it was too late. When Tim forced himself to focus through the blurriness that was not tears, not if he was his mother's son, he found Jason was looking at him with a careful, damning, knowing expression. Came out to your dad, huh? And it went south? And that was such a ridiculous assumption that Tim forgot to hold his tongue. No, I didn't come out to him. I'm not stupid, Tim snapped. He went snooping through my stuff and found out for himself. I wasn't going to say anything. He's the one who went and made it his problem. He was furious. Said I was looking for attention, which is rich considering I didn't even tell anyone. A stab of self-awareness cuts right through the heart of his little tantrum. What was he doing? The semantics of coming out didn't matter here. That wasn't the problem. But that's not... What matters is that it's weird. Liking girls and boys. It's unnatural. It's gross. It goes against everything I was raised to be. That's what he was actually mad about, even if he never said it outright. It was like a flood. Once Tim had started, he didn't know how to stop. I think he didn't want to entertain the reality of me being like that long enough to acknowledge what the real issue was. Just called me. Tim swallowed, his mouth suddenly dry. He changed tracks. And I denied it. Of course I denied it. I said he was right, that I lied and made it up for attention. I even apologized for all the good it did, but... His voice shook. He was so angry. He told me he didn't know if he could love me anymore. Tim had never told anyone about this, not even Steph. Of course not. That would require telling her why Jack had been so angry, and the molten core of hot, dense shame in the pit of his belly held him back from even considering it. He kicked me out, I guess, for a little while. It wasn't exactly a hardship, I just stayed in my room at the manor. Dad just needed space, I think. You know, to cool down. I wasn't even really punished for it, because after I came back he never mentioned it again, except... Tim bit his tongue. Except... Sometimes he'll just make comments around it, usually when we're already arguing. Nothing he expects me to respond to, more like letting me know he hasn't forgotten, reminding me to be grateful he's willing to deal with me at all, I guess. Tim didn't think he could say any more. Jason got comfortable in his seat and gave Tim a firm nod. "Come here," he instructed. "Huh?" "Get over here. You heard me. I'm not having this conversation with you all the way over there." And so, Tim found himself settled under Jason's arm, tucked against his side, and utterly confused. Jason reached into the pocket of the leather jacket Tim was still wearing and pulled out a carton of cigarettes, flipping the lid up one-handed. Empty. He heaved a sigh, tossed the empty carton into the opposite seat, and wrapped an arm firmly, intentionally, around Tim's shoulders. With his other hand, he massaged his temples, as though warding off a headache. "You're probably not supposed to smoke on trains anyway," Tim offered helpfully. "Shut up," Jason said, with an astounding degree of gentleness. He dropped his hand from his head to drum against the glass of the window. "I'm gonna assume you didn't tell Bruce about this, either." Tim didn't answer. He didn't need to. "Fuck, Christ. Okay, first of all, I'm sorry that happened to you. That kind of stuff is personal, and the choice to tell someone you trust shouldn't have been taken away from you. The way your dad behaved says a lot more about him than it does about you. Second, it's not weird. It's completely natural. Perfectly fucking normal, okay? You have nothing to be ashamed of. Say it." "Huh? I want you to say it, even if you don't believe it. Because I know you don't completely buy that garbage your dad was spewing, but you didn't hesitate to repeat that," Jason said. "Again, it's perfectly fucking normal, and you have nothing to be ashamed of." Tim hesitated, but Jason didn't waver. Clearing his throat nervously, he mumbled, "It's natural and, normal, and I shouldn't feel ashamed." "Close enough. Next. You may feel alone, but you're not. There's lots of people who have felt what you're feeling right now and who have experienced hardship as a result of their sexuality. People who came out the other side of the uncertainty and shame, and who are happy and thriving. Happier than they thought was possible for them when they were going through what you're going through now." Tim's only response was the tears soaking into the fabric of Jason's goofy wolf shirt. Jason seemed to understand, though, continuing without commenting. "I've got some friends. I'll reach out, see if I can't give you their numbers, see if we can't find someone for you to talk to. I think it'd be good for you." Tim let out a sharp, jagged sob before he could stop himself. Warm, strong fingers began working through his filthy hair, gently working through the knots and scratching comfortingly against his scalp. "You don't have to say anything. You can cry, sleep, whatever. Take a break, kid. You've definitely earned one." And how, after that, was Tim supposed to keep pretending this wasn't personal? That this wasn't just someone seeing an objectively bad situation and wanting it to stop, but someone caring because it was happening to Tim? He was tired, but... "Jason?"
"Yeah?"
"I'm glad you came back," Tim confessed into the damp fabric of Jason's sweatshirt, barely above a whisper. Jason rubbed the back of his neck with his free hand, like he was bashful or something. "I told you I wasn't going to ditch you in the store, kid, and you could see the door the whole time. Not that big a deal." "To life," Tim corrected quietly. "I know things haven't been great between you and me, but I'm happy you came back to life. I'm glad you're here. I'm sorry about what happened to you. It wasn't fair, and you didn't deserve it. I'm really, really happy you're alive." Jason's body went so utterly rigid he might have turned to stone. Tim tensed, uncertain. Was he angry? It took him a second to identify the minute trembling for what it was. No. Dick and Bruce definitely preferred Jason alive and angry than dead and lost to them forever. But had anyone actually said so to his face? Based on the way Jason shuddered and choked out a terse, whatever, a full minute after Tim had finished speaking, it seemed they had not. The arm around Tim's shoulders tightened, and Tim curled in closer, and they just leaned on each other. It was nice. "Sorry I took your watch," Jason muttered, voice wavering slightly. Tim shrugged one shoulder where Jason could feel. "You should keep it. We'd all feel better if you had a way to get in contact if you need help, or anything else." "Really?" God, Jason was so young. Jason was so old. "Yeah, Jason, really." In response, Jason wrapped his other arm around Tim and pulled him solidly against himself, all but smushing Tim's face against his chest, and rested a chin on top of his head. And maybe Tim did let himself cry, just a little. But maybe it was okay, because he was pretty sure that Jason was crying too. By the time they made it to Dick's apartment, it was undeniable that something had shifted. The air between the spot where their shoulders bumped as they ascended the stairs felt like something new, something tentative and tender. Warm. Jason's ears were bright red, but his shoulders were relaxed, and he hadn't asked for his jacket back yet. They stood shoulder to shoulder at Dick's front door, and Tim felt a swell of anxiety so sudden and potent that it stole his breath for a moment. "Jason, will you stay with me until this is over?" Tim didn't look over, hoping to avoid betraying how much his stomach was churning at the thought of facing this alone. "To make sure everything goes okay?" "Don't know how good I am for making anything go okay in this family." Tim went to interrupt, but Jason waved him away with a small, genuine smile. "But yeah, Tim, if you want me to, I'll stay." Tim gave a firm nod in response, squeezing his eyes shut for a brief moment. Finally, he dropped to a crouch in front of the door and stretched out his hand. "Okay, give me your lockpick. I left mine at home." There was a soft laugh behind him, and the small, warm pieces of metal were tucked into his palm. Tim got to work. But he had barely even touched the metal to metal when the door was wrenched open in front of him. Dick was staring at them both in alarm. "Something is wrong," his instincts screamed at him. "Wrong, wrong, wrong." Dick looked exhausted, like he hadn't slept all night. His eyes drank in the sight of Tim with stark relief and something he couldn't decipher. Tim was unceremoniously yanked to his feet and pulled into a quick, firm embrace, and then all but dragged inside, his firm grip on Tim's shoulders transforming into something closer to a cage than a hug. "Bruce, he's here!" he shouted deeper into the apartment, voice noticeably hoarse. What did he mean, Bruce? What in the world would Bruce be doing in Bloodhaven? This was not the plan. This wasn't how this was supposed to go. Jason's foot prevented the door from closing all the way, and he shouldered his way in, despite the look Dick was giving him over Tim's shoulder. Despite the venom in Dick's voice when he spat, "Why is he here, Tim? Did he kidnap you again?" Jason let out an unfriendly snort and kicked the door shut behind him, leaning against the wall and pointedly lighting a cigarette. Indoors. It would have been more intimidating had he not been swimming in his enormous undercover clothes. But Tim couldn't even laugh. Jason was staying because Tim asked, despite the defensive hunch of his shoulders indicating how dearly he wished to be somewhere else. Tim cleared his throat. "No, he helped me out of some trouble. He bought me breakfast, brought me here." "Dick, what are you doing home?" Tim protested weakly, squirming in the tight grip. "You're supposed to be at work." "At work? Tim, do you have any idea what's going on?" Dick demanded incredulously. At the sight of Batman walking out of Dick's study, Tim's hands began to shake. He felt Dick's hands finally release him. Even Jason froze with the cigarette halfway to his lips. Because it was Batman coming down the short hallway, even if he wasn't wearing the cowl. This wasn't Bruce, who fostered him for the best and worst 15 months of his life, who was still on file as Tim's primary emergency contact at school, even now that Jack was healthy again. No, the square of his shoulders, the hard line of his mouth, was all Batman. This wasn't Tim's almost father, this was Tim's boss, and he didn't look happy. "Tim, you need to tell me exactly what's going on right now." "This wasn't how this was supposed to go. This was all wrong. Are you currently in danger? Is there anyone chasing you or threatening you, or is there a time-sensitive mission that needs to be completed?" "No, sir." Batman's shoulders relaxed slightly, but his expression didn't soften. "Tim, you went completely off the grid, hundreds of miles away from home. You didn't contact me. You lied to Dick. We had no idea where you were. Do you have any idea how worried we've been? You could have been dead for all we knew." The disappointment smarted. Tim's mouth was dry. Humiliatingly, he felt tears prickling at the corners of his eyes. I didn't think." His voice cracked, and he swallowed before continuing. "No one was supposed to notice." "No one notice? Tim, Do you have any idea how serious this is? You are 2 hours from becoming an official missing persons case. I just spoke with your father. He's beside himself, calling the authorities, contacting regional news stations. No one has any idea where you are. Tim stumbled back a step. You talked to Dad? He whispered. Is he here? Son. Bruce looked at him, shaking his head because he hates him. Jack's in Atlanta. He's there looking for you. Tim's heart stopped. He must have heard wrong. He stared at Bruce uncomprehendingly. Bruce was still talking, but Tim couldn't hear him very well over the pounding in his ears. Talk to me, please. If there wasn't a mission, what on earth possessed you to come all this way? Do you understand that drawing this kind of attention to ourselves could potentially put our identities at risk? How would we explain your presence here? Tim was shaking. Tim couldn't breathe. Jack was in Atlanta? How? Why? What? Bruce sighed. It's going to be okay. We can get you back in about 5 hours if we're careful. Not soon enough to avoid an investigation, but enough to close it quickly. Tim's heart started back up then, pounding so powerfully he could feel it in his throat, choking him. This can't be happening. Tim was good at logic, and his brain was far better suited to processing facts than emotions anyway. Fact, Tim could not, under any circumstances, go back to Atlanta. So Tim didn't cry. He absolutely didn't look at Jason. He'll think I was lying. He'll think I made it up, that I'm doing this for attention. No, not now. Tim dove for the door. Dick intercepted him bodily, as fast and powerful as ever, forcing Tim to change tracks. He snatched Dick's phone from his shirt pocket and slipped himself into the hall closet, locking the door behind him and sinking to the floor in a heap. By time, do not go back to Atlanta. His breath was harsh in the confined space, loud and distracting. Dick pounded on the door. Tim, open up, you're not in trouble. Tim ignored him. With fumbling fingers, he logged into his email and opened the message from Marcia, reading it through once, twice, three times, looking for some clue he might have missed. Tears dripped down his chin. It looked normal. It communicated the same information as before. What was Tim missing? Numbly, he navigates from his own account and instead logs into his father's with the password he's not supposed to know. Another email, thanking his father for booking a reservation, an apology for the strict refund policy, and a confirmation to the update on his contact information. Distantly, the sound of people shouting reached his ears, but his brain was too fuzzy to comprehend what was being said. The facts were all there, but Tim couldn't seem to hold them in place long enough to make sense of things. His mind was skipping and stuttering along them like an old record, like if his brain didn't accept this, it would stop being true. All along, this had all just been some... There was a loud click, and the closet door swung open. Bruce, Jason, and Dick were all staring down at him where he was crouched on the floor with his knees drawn up to his chest. Dick had a small brass key in his hand, and his mouth was twisted downwards. Jason's face was red, and his chest was heaving. Bruce might as well have been made of stone. Tim scooted back until he hit the back of the closet, clutching the phone to his chest. There was no way he was going to be able to get past them. This wasn't how this was supposed to go. End of chapter 4. Author's Endnotes. Railroading, noun. 1. The act of traveling or working on the railroads. 2. the act of pressuring someone into doing something through coercion or by imposing unreal constraints. This is a story about gaslighting.